Hey everybody, it's Ken. Alright, loyal listeners, you know what the sound of my voice doing a cold open post-show means. For you newbies, welcome to what we affectionately call Community Radio Attacks. We had some technical difficulties for tonight's show that unfortunately resulted in the loss of a truly great chat with David Glick, the founder and executive director of the GLBTQ online high school, which opened just this past week. In a world where LGBT students are harassed, feel unsafe, and are missing school due to all of the negative forces that confront them, the GLBTQ online high school is actively creating a safe, supporting, affirming environment by providing connections to both peers and a solid support network. They boast a full curriculum, including PE, you can't get out of gym, folks, and numerous co-curricular activities. And David promised that Becca and I could chaperone the prom. Okay, he didn't, but we already started picking out dresses, so here's hoping. If you know anyone who might be interested in attending the high school, or if you want to support them financially to help cover their startup costs and student scholarships, please, please, please go to www.glbtqonlinehighschool.com. And thus, with our apologies to David, sorry David, I now return you to the remainder of this January 27th episode of This Show Is So Gay, already in progress, featuring our 2010 auction winner and all-around great guy, Osvaldo De Valle. Enjoy! So much to talk about.
Indeed.
We have so much to talk about. So today, apparently, is... Not apparently, it actually is...
In real life?
Gay Straight Alliance Day in Iowa. Did you know that?
I did not
today,
know that.
Today, Gay Straight Alliance Day in Iowa. The day, organized by Iowa Pride Network, is meant to honor Gay Straight Alliance groups, students and staff who worked to end violence and homophobia in Iowa schools and colleges. And this is a quote from Lieutenant Governor Judge. It is a known fact that Gay Straight Alliances make our schools safer and more accepting. The Culver Judge Administration and Iowa's outstanding Gay Straight Alliances share a common vision, ensuring that every Iowa student has a safe, nurturing environment in which to learn, and we look forward to working with GSAs and all Iowans to turn this goal into a reality. So, hey, all of our Iowa listeners, of which I know we have some, happy Gay Straight Alliance Day.
Indeed.
Now, in another part of the country...
Do you get the day off for that?
I hope so.
I really doubt it,
no,
but that would be great.
You get to go to school and be extra gay. In Wyoming, this story...
I just got a look. I wish we had video someday.
This is a story. Although debate may still continue among students and other groups, both school administrators and the Platte County School District number one Board of Trustees feel it is time to move on, Becca. Time to move on from their decision to take down banners on display at the Wheatland High and West Elementary Schools. These banners, which display a sponsorship logo for the Gay and Lesbian Coalition of Colorado, were permanently removed after a 4-3 decision from the board overturning a motion to allow them to remain. The display, these banners, Becca, were part of a campaign called, quote, No Place for Hate. It's a program of the Anti-Defamation League. The program was free of charge to schools, and the students participated on a voluntary basis. Let me recap for our listening audience.
Wait, can you cover that one more time?
There were these banners that were part of an anti-discrimination campaign.
And they're being discriminated against.
It was called No Place for Hate. And one of the sponsors was the Gay and Lesbian Coalition of Colorado. The banners had to be removed as voted on by the school board. And I'm not sure if I mentioned, this was part of an anti-discrimination... I don't get it, people. When you're voting that, are you voting for irony? Is that what you're voting for? Like, yes, I am voting to take the banners down, but I'm also firmly voting for irony. So I just want to put that out
there.
Well,
I'm a fan of irony, but I still...
Unbelievable. Yeah. Hey, right now... We have no idea what's going on. Well, we don't know because we're on the air live right now. We're on live. You know that? You do know that,
These
right?
These things happen. Wednesday night.
Wednesday night from 9 to 10. It's not just a podcast. President Obama is giving his State of the Union address. And
yes.
Insiders say that he will be talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But
you
might have already said it.
I'm trying to keep up with the news here as we're on the air.
Well, here's the question. Here's the poll question, Becca.
What do you predict President Obama will say regarding Don't Ask, Don't Tell during Wednesday's State of the Union?
Not much.
Well, that is one of your choices, actually.
I win.
Here are your three choices. He will stress the serious importance of repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but won't commit to any change. Number two, despite promises to the contrary, he won't mention Don't Ask, Don't Tell at all. Or number three, he will overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell immediately using an executive order. What are you going for?
I want him to repeal it immediately.
But you don't think he will?
No.
So you're going that he'll mention, but he'll mention it, but he won't commit to any changes?
Yeah, I guess.
Do you know when I first
heard
this?
What are you going to do?
Well, I actually, which shows you where I am right now.
I mean, after the Steve Jobs announcement today, I'm all newsed out, really.
About the stupid iPlate? What's it called?
The iPlate. It's worse than that. We're just going to call it the tablet because I hate the name that they chose.
What is it, the iPalette?
No. I just don't like it, so I'm not going to say it because that's how it goes, Steve Jobs. I would be promoting your new fantastically beautiful little machine.
Do you think he supports the eye rainbow that goes right over our show? Do you think he's being not just gay, but eye gay?
I think you're going to make him irate.
So anyway, I'm going with, which shows you where I am, despite promises to the contrary, he won't mention Don't Ask, Don't Tell at all. But that might have actually already happened, and I have no idea. 55% agreed with Becca. He will stress the serious importance of repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but won't commit to any changes. 40% said, despite promises to the contrary, he won't mention it. And a very happy, a very confident, a very positive 4% said he will overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell immediately using an executive order. So just want to put that out there.
We'll see. I'm staying in touch with the news here. Can't listen to it or anything because that would be really rude.
A little bit.
But
hey, how about during this music break? We'll do some checking.
I'm doing checking.
All right, here we go.
Of the major.
good times. It's 80s night. It's 80s night here at this show. So, okay. So wanted to update folks on what is going on at Ye Olde Notre Dame, which we talked about Notre Dame last week about the editorial cartoon that was pulled paper and the editor-in-chief who resigned over that and gave a really eloquent, I thought, appropriate apology. Well, as a sister school of the University of Notre Dame, the all-women's St. Mary's College in Notre Dame, Indiana, shares many activities with its powerhouse neighbor, from social exchanges to Catholic identity to political club memberships. One thing the separate institutions do not share, however, is equal recognition and protections for LGBT students, faculty members, and administrators. An informal group of four students from both schools hopes to change that with a protest at Notre Dame, and that took place this morning. The action arrives in the wake of outrage, as I said, over the anti-gay editorial cartoon that appeared back on January 13th. The newspaper staff apologized for the publication. The university president denounced it. But there is a group that's organizing a protest. I will say that's one of the things that there's a list on transgenderlaw.org and somewhere else that lists all the schools that have amended their non-discrimination statements to include gender identity or expression and sexual orientation. I've spoken with so many students who think it's just the most daunting thing, and it very well might be at your school. It very well might be.
At some schools. Yeah, it definitely is.
But my gosh, if you can find a couple allies, particularly on the administration, it really can be the easiest possible thing.
It's now, not so easy to befriend administration, though.
Excuse me.
They're very scary
people. I am the dean of students.
He is the man.
At Marlborough College in Marlborough, Vermont.
And you're horribly intimidated.
www.marlborough.edu. Click on admissions to apply. But
once you've finished high school.
Once you've finished high school, or if you're out of high school for a while, or if you're a sophomore or a junior in high school and you're thinking, that's the place for me.
Oh, but then anyway, I have to send them lots of mail.
Yes.
If you're a senior, definitely.
If you're a senior.
And I only have to send mail for a couple months.
The point being, now, I've self-selected schools. I've worked at Marlborough. I've worked at Sarah Lawrence. I've worked at Pace University.
Yes, and you've worked at crazy hippie liberal schools.
Is that
basically
the thing? Because it's been really super easy. Every school that I've worked at, I've added gender identity. I fought for, and it was, I haven't,
and they should have
it.
Already had it.
Well, but not that many schools do.
I know. They
not
just
that many
don't
schools
think
do. To. And I that was totally, I completely just misspoke. I did not fight for it. I asked for it. At Marlborough, it just sailed through. At Sarah Lawrence, it sailed through. These, sometimes it can just sail through. So my biggest fear is that there are groups of students who are sitting around thinking, my gosh, we would love to make this change, but there's just no way it's going to happen here. Go to the dean of students. Go and ask. What you do is, particularly for gender identity and or its expression, go over to transgenderlaw.org, and I find the easiest possible thing you could do is print out a list of all the schools that have done it. And I guarantee some of your school's competitor institutions are on that list.
Yep.
And so you get to say things like, don't we want to be on this list? It's amazing how many wheels you can grease by saying, don't we want to be on this list?
Do it.
Do it. Hey, let's move to Hawaii.
Okay, why are we moving to Hawaii?
One, because I hear it's pretty. Have you been?
No, I'm pale.
You're pale.
I try not to go to sunny places.
Okay.
That's why I live in Vermont.
Well, you and I can get married.
I visit
there. No, we're probably not going to get married. We,
well, we could.
We could
get
right
married
now.
In all 50 states, Ken.
But if you have that operation we talked about, we could get married in Hawaii, because the Hawaii Senate passed a civil unions bill 18 to... Okay, we can't get married. We could get a civil union from Hawaii. Now that I'm so spoiled, now that we live in a state that does gay marriages, civil unions, moo.
Well, they seem so second class.
I mean, they're so blah, blah. I had some
blah,
sort of,
blah.
Yeah, I had some sort of highfalutin speak there. The state Senate last Friday passed a civil unions bill with enough votes to override a potential veto. This is a good thing. Hey, folks, go to Hawaii and go get your civil union. Okay. So once a year, as our loyal listeners know, we auction off a guest spot on This Show Is So Gay, with all the proceeds going to the National Association of Student Personnel Administrators. Well, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we welcome the 2010 winning bidder of that auction, Osvaldo De Valle. Are you there? You're there? You're happy?
Hey,
oh, thank God.
Did Let me give butcher some your name?
Well, I didn't butcher his name.
I'm asking.
How'd I do?
You did all right.
Oh.
It's a long O sound. Osvaldo.
Okay, so I screwed that up, too. I'm just getting it all
it's
wrong.
It's been a rough night.
Our guest tonight is the director of Miles Standish Hall at Boston University. He has presented and sat on such panels as Gay Bi Men Dating, a workshop, and a panel called Negotiating Identities, Latino and Gay. His writing can be found in En La Vida magazine and I Loca Please, a fierce, sexy, funny, and thought-provoking collection of Latino short stories. He served on the City of Chicago Commission on Human Relations, Advisory Council on Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Issues for years and years. He's played a major role in the resurgence of the LGBT group at Boston University. Welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you, thank you. It's good to be here.
We're thrilled to have you. How are you?
I'm doing well.
How has the semester started for you?
It's smoothly, thank the Lord.
Wow. Ah. All right, I like to hear that. All right, we have so much to talk about, and because I screwed up, we don't have a lot of time, so we're cramming everything in. You, sir, have done quite a bit of writing on the intersection between sexual orientation and Latino identity. Tell our listeners more about that.
Sure. Basically, it started, obviously, with my own path in life as a Puerto Rican male, growing up in a Puerto Rican neighborhood in Chicago, and, you know, coming to a realization in high school that, you know, I liked other boys. What does that mean? Because at the time, there weren't any other Latino boys that were, you know, having the same issues I was having, and we're obviously talking about the late 80s, so it was just crazy. And being the bookworm that I was, I tried to go and find anything I could find about, you know, being gay and so forth. And unfortunately, back in the day, we didn't have the internet. You know, I'm already sounding like an old bogey. You know, I did the research and started, you know, finding a lot of stuff that obviously had to deal with a more general, you know, the caste model of coming out and so forth. But there was nothing that dealt with the issues of being Latino as well. So then that's what started to get me interested in doing the writing about it and doing the research about it.
What are some of the challenges in having those multiple identities?
Well, probably the first one is the issue of machismo. It is very big in the Latino community, and it's something that all Latino gay men have to contend with. And whether you know you're a man or you're not, and I mean all men in general have to just with the issue of masculinity development and even like the persona of macho male and the Marlboro man, if you will, that American culture also. You know, there's this whole hyper-masculinity that goes on in both cultures, and it's doubly so with Latinos because the machismo, and part of machismo is putting down the woman.
Right,
right. And
so, well, how does gay men deal with that? Because that's obviously not an issue we have to contend with to be, you know, a masculine gay male. Do I have to put down women? Certainly not. And I certainly hope that there aren't any Latino men out there that do so, so. It's so multifaceted that that's probably the biggest hurdle that most Latino men have to first exorcise from themselves is mm-hmm. the idea of I have to be dominant and I have to be the top, if you will, in my relationship with my sex partners because you know my machismo dictates that I be the man in the relationship.
Right. So, what do we do to support Latino students or Latino men who are in the coming out process?
I would say first and foremost, find there's certainly resources out there that were not out there when I was a young man.
Yeah, thank goodness for the internet, right?
The internet is a good thing.
For the internet, for Amazon, and for all the things. And most college universities will have at least one or two books. There's a great book by Rafael Campos, Dr. Rafael Campos of the University of Puerto Rico, who did a whole study on just Puerto Rican masculinity, and he dedicates a whole chapter on homosexuality. I wasn't too keen on the whole scientific, you know, use of homosexuality, the scientific term of it, but he hits it right on the spot.
Now, are you still working with the with Spectrum, the LGBT group at BU?
Actually, not. I turned over the reins to a lovely colleague of ours by the name of Melissa Strack.
I know Melissa.
Yeah.
This is an incestuous little world.
It's great. This is the world of student affairs. Welcome, that Becca.
Scary.
Get this, Becca. Hey, Osvaldo, will I see you on Friday?
On Friday, of course.
See, there you go. This is how incestuous this the whole thing is. We all meet with each other. Okay, so first of all, I'm very impressed that you handed over the reins. Did you do it with some melancholy? Did you do it enthusiastically? I'm not so good at handing over reins.
I think I was okay with it. I think I took it from, it really was, you know, floundering when I got it. And, you know, no disrespect to the previous advisor, but the advisor wasn't in student affairs, and he, you know, wasn't even in academic affairs. He was one of the doctors that worked for the university, who happened to be gay, and who it was out, but it really didn't have any connection or did participation in the group, and it definitely needed that leadership. It needed somebody to come and say, "This is how it's done, and this is what you need to do." So,
right,
and you did that.
Yeah,
and look at them now.
And because of Spectrum and starting another group, a technology group called MacBU, I won Advisor of the Year for 2000.
Look at you!
Congratulations!
Pretty happy with that. So I said, okay, you know, that way I wasn't so melancholy, because I was able to say, hey, you know, I did this. I did accomplish what exactly I wanted to do, was which was to get the organization up and going and make it a powerful student group on campus.
And we love that, Melissa Strass.
Yep.
We love her. Now, there are a lot of studies. I was doing some reading. I was reading about LGBT groups today. There are some studies that suggest that students start coming out early and earlier in middle school and high school, that they're exploring their individual identity, but not necessarily having the opportunity to be part of a group, so that when they get to college, they might not gravitate towards an LGBT student group because they don't maybe see the importance. Tell our listeners... What does an LGBT student group have to offer a gay student or an ally?
It's difficult. You hit the nail on the head. I blame Facebook for the most part.
Well, I blame Facebook for most things, but go ahead.
Well, the issue was back when we were in college, the internet was still fledgling. You know, you had America Online and so forth, and you certainly didn't have Facebook and the ease of being able to find other people. So the first and foremost purpose that an LGBT group on a campus served was to help you find other like-minded folks. And now, with the click of a button, you can just find a whole group of people on a computer, and the computer does it for you. So I would say that we're at an impasse in terms of LGBT groups on campus, particularly so if you're in a campus that's very accepting and has, you know, policies in the books that, you know, are pro-LGBT. It makes it more difficult for a group to even exist.
But isn't right. that almost the point?
It is. Because I think as... Kent said, the students are learning the individual aspect of what it is to be gay, but they have no clue about what's out there culturally. They have no idea about the history of the movement.
Right.
And part of what I did as in the student organization, Spectrum, was to teach them the history of the movement, to teach them about Stonewall, to show them movies about, you know, what it was like to be gay in the 60s and the 70s. And they were like, well, wait a minute, why are they getting arrested?
I mean, I always thought, gosh, I wish... This is the difference, is that when you look for your family as a gay person, it's probably not. Odds are it's not going to be your parents. So you're not going to get the history. You can't ask your parents about the history of this identity. And so I was just always thinking there's got to be this way where as soon as you come out, as soon as you tell that first person...
You get the welcome basket?
Yes. The history fairy just appears. I'm willing to be the history fairy and gives you this handbook. And FYI, welcome to the gays. And here's what happened in 1968, and here's the whole history.
And here's your tiara and rainbow flag.
Bye. Everything.
Right. But I'm still waiting for my tiara and rainbow
flag. Good example, most adults wouldn't be able to tell you when the pride flag was created, much less what the colors signify.
Right.
And most students even less. To give you an example, you mentioned the gay bi men's dating. It was not actually a panel I sat on. It's a workshop that I conducted. Because the students at the time were complaining about they were depressed, that they can't find a guy, can't find a boyfriend. And then when I would ask them, well, what are you doing? And then a lot of them were having these, thankfully not unsafe sex, but they were having these one-night stands and so forth and multiple partners. And I'm like, well, how do you expect to find a partner, a boyfriend, if you're constantly just giving it away?
Right.
You know? You're not developed. Where's the romance?
Becca.
And so they're not learning the romance, and I think it's incumbent on us, the older gays, to teach them about romance and to teach them about the end, because they're not going to learn this from their parents or from their schools. So I put a workshop together, read some books on dating, which helped me out to some degree as well. The kids came, and oddly enough, there were gay and bi men on campus who had never stepped into a Spectrum meeting came for that workshop.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, so that was a big success.
Have you gotten any success stories? Has anybody written you and said, hey, I went to your, I went to that workshop and now,
right. Have
now
you
I'm
been
going
bringing
to Hawaii
people
for my
together?
Civil union.
No, unfortunately, I've had stories where what they left with was a little guide on how to develop their basically their 7 rules of dating, of what they're expecting and what they're going to do to accomplish a more healthy dating lifestyle. They developed them on their own.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of them were like, okay, no sex on the first date. And they found that just for that alone, you know, and it's nothing about being pious or virtuous or anything. It's just you're weeding out those people who are just looking at you as completely a sex object and a sexual escapade, and somebody who's more interested, who's willing to put in the time and the effort to get to know you. And a lot of them said that alone has helped to weed out some of the riffraff.
All right. You know, we are making you. I just decide these things on the fly in the middle of the interview. we are hereby making you the official relationship guru of this show, So Gay.
Okay. That'll work.
It's a lot of pressure.
Do I get a crown?
You get this show is So Gay magnet.
Okay.
I'll give it to you on Friday. just remember to ask me for it. So now, it's rare that we get to have, it's only once a year, really, when we have our auction winner on the show, that we get to talk about the intersection between being gay and student affairs. Mm-hmm. Why are there so many gay people in student affairs?
I think it's all about the people being, you know, gay. I think, I mean, certainly not the case with all LGBT folks, but a lot of us are, you know, love to interact with folks, and we love to talk to people, and we like to help people. And a lot of us are aware of so many LGBTs in social work.
Right.
Psychology, I think, for the same reasons.
Now, when did you decide that you wanted to be in student affairs?
Oh, that was, I actually had a career change.
When did you come out?
Yes, when did you come out as a student affairs professional?
That would have been, I guess, right around the time when I decided I wanted out of social work. And I kind of had a little introspection and decided, when was I most happiest? And I was most happiest when I was in college. So
okay.
I had a few friends who were hall directors at the time. And I was like, you know, I would love that job. Even though I was never an RA, and that's how usually most hall directors get into student affairs, is because they were RAs and discovered that they loved the job.
Oh, yeah.
That. But for me, it wasn't the case. But I realized that I really loved being in an academic environment, and that was the best way in. So I started applying everywhere, mostly assistant director or directorships of LGBT centers on campuses, but nothing panned out. And then finally I started applying nationally, and Boston University gave me a call.
Now tell me, what is the goal? What is your student affairs goal?
When I grow up, Ken,
yes.
I want to be a dean of students.
Come on!
At either a small liberal arts college or art school.
I'm like choked up right now.
Ken, you better lock your door. He's going to try to steal your desk.
Take it.
In an urban setting.
Okay. We're done.
We're safe here.
Did you just call me a hick? Because that's what I just heard. I don't know what you heard.
I heard that too.
Traveling through Vermont all the time.
What do you say?
You always hear that they're traveling through Vermont.
I know. It's not the destination.
I fell in love with Lake Champlain, but it's one of those like, oh my God, this is gorgeous, but I wouldn't want to live here.
All right. Now's our favorite part. This is where you get to tell our listening audience. We have been playing your music all night long. Uh-huh. It's been an 80s explosion.
Which is great, because we were talking about prom earlier.
Yes,
and I just have
this
great mental image in me.
Tell us what Piano in the Dark says about you.
Oh, Piano in the Dark. That was written by a gay man. It's a song by Brenda Russell, but it was composed by a gay man back in the 80s. And I remember when I first heard it, even before seeing the video on MTV, I was like, wow, this song has a special meaning. And for me at the time, I had the hugest crush on this guy named William, and it was like incurable. And for me, I just played this whole video in my head of him playing the piano in a nice, you know, jazz club, just much like the Brenda Russell video, you know, and it just stuck with me ever since.
Rule number 6 on your list, look for someone who can be in that video. What does I Believe by Tears for Fears say about you?
I Believe is one of those underrated songs. It has so much depth. It was the first time that I really listened to jazz music and understood it. It just had all this soulfulness that was reminiscent of like a very painful blues song, if you can compare the two genres. It's just a song of hope and just one of those songs that you just can't help but to sit there sipping coffee in your living room and just, like, you know, absorbing it all in.
All right. All right, I'm only going to make you do one more because this is the fascinating one. I can't wait to hear
it. Yes.
What does Being Boring by the Pet Shop Boys
yes, I was hoping you
say about you?
Being boring is my mantra in life.
Come on.
I kid you not.
I don't understand.
Since the song came out, that song, if you listen, Pet Shop Boys, first of all, is one of those bands, if you can call them a band, whose yes. lyrics are really underrated. They have, much like New Order, which was the other song that you
played. We played, yeah.
The lyrics are, sometimes people just don't get it, but if you really break down, you know, pull up the lyrics and read it, you get it. And Being Boring is about going through life and never being bored. You know, appreciate the friends you have around you. And always do the things that you want to do. And that's how I've lived my life.
Well, that's pretty darn good.
I had a conversation with my mom one time who was concerned because I didn't have a partner at the time. She was like, this is when I was turning 35. And she was like, oh, you know, I wish you would find somebody already. And I'm like, well, Mom, you know, I don't need a man to be happy. And if I were to die...
That's rule number six. That's rule number six. Okay, just two. I'm sorry.
Number one. And I said, if I were to drop dead right now, I would die a happy man because I've done everything that I've always wanted to do. And I still, although there are more things I want to accomplish, I can say that, you know, there's nothing, I will not pass away thinking that I have not lived.
Well, especially after you appeared on this show.
Right.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on. This is a national.
This is a career highlight.
This is
right
a national
here.
LGBT radio show. Now, we are going to let you do something that we have never let any guest do before.
Are you sure?
Do you even know what I'm doing?
Not a clue.
Okay. That we have never let any guest do before. So I want to pause right there, let that sink in. Mm-hmm. Although I'm concerned now that you've put out there that you could die tomorrow and everything would be great. So I don't want to make this too great because, you know, I'd like to see you on Friday. We are going to let you do the sign-off of our show. Because you, sir, have paid thousands of dollars to appear on this show to benefit the National Association of Student Personnel Administrators, we're going to let you do the sign-off.
Okay.
Do you feel emotionally prepared?
I'm ready.
Okay. So I'm very nervous. This is like the end of the show.
Well,
it's the
I'm
first
the one
time.
Whose line is changing here. You're just throwing that at me.
You know you're doing good work, right? I feel like this has actually become the running theme of the show. It's been a pleasure to talk to guests who are just exuding over the phone line that they are enjoying what they do. You love your job, do you not?
Mm-hmm. I love my job.
All right. You're doing good work. This is important
and you know,
work.
The saying goes, if you love your job, you never have to work a day in your life.
Wow. Okay, so I clearly have some introspection to do. Anyway, all right. We thank you tremendously for appearing. I will see you in a couple days. Anything you want to say before we go, Becca?
Yeah, goodbye. It was great talking to you.
Talking to you too, Becca.
So, folks, you need to get out there. You need to do all these great things. Join an LGBT student group. Go online and learn about the LGBT online high school that we talked about earlier in the show. Move to Hawaii and learn about civil unions. Investigate the irony of the story we told you before of that ridiculous school district that took down the banner for an anti-discrimination. We talked about it. You heard it. And remember, oh, and send us an email at thisshowissogay@AOL.com. Anything else we want to cram in? Join our Facebook group, blah, blah, blah.
Go to our website.
Go to our website, thisshowissogay.com. I feel like this is enough. And remember, why be gay when you can be
so gay?
Awesome. Good night, everybody.
Good night. She said we were now.